الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، we continue with the fourth fundamental principle, الأصل الرابع of the balanced position of أهل السنة والجماعة in comparison to the rest of the deviant groups. And we dealt with the issues of Qadr, and we dealt with the issues of who's a believer, who, you know, the Murji'a, alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, and the Wa'idiyya, and the different groups. The fourth fundamental principle where Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah differ from the rest of the deviant groups is in the Asma'ul Imani wa Deen, in the names of Iman, faith and religion. What do you call that person based on the previous chapter? The previous chapter was Al-Wa'id, threat. And we said that Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah are fi babi wa'idillahi bayna al-murji'a wa bayna al-wa'idiyya. Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah are between the murji'a, those who say that your deeds have nothing to do with your iman. You could fornicate, drink alcohol, rob a bank, and your iman and that of Abu Bakr is just the same. Sawa, ma fi mushkila. It has nothing to do with it. Wa'idiyya, they say, you know, once you commit a major sin, you're a kafir. You can't possibly be a Muslim. And they throw you outside of Islam. Now these are the two extreme groups. We are in between. Now concerning this chapter, what are the names that these people say you're going to Jahannam eternally, like the Wa'idiyya? But do they call you a Muslim? Or do they call you a kafir? Or what is the religion that they attribute to you? This chapter will address this issue. قال المؤلف رحمه الله وفي باب أسماء الإيمان والدين بين الحرورية الحرورية والمعتزلة وبين المرجئة والجهمية أو الجهمية. In the chapter or in the chapter of the names of Iman and religion, أهل السنة والجماعة are between the Hururites, right, according to our principle, and the Mu'tazilites on one hand. On the other hand, they are between Al-Murji'a and Al-Jahmiyya. What does that mean? The Shaykh says في الشرح هذا في باب الأسماء والدين وهو غير باب الأحكام الذي هو الوعد والوعيد. This is in terms of what we call them, what is the title we give to this person, and what is the religion that we also attribute to him. This is unlike the chapter on the actual concept of the threat and the hope, which we had discussed earlier. If you didn't come last time, you're probably saying, what is he talking about? But Allah musta'an. ففاعل الكبيرة ماذا نسميه أمؤمن أم كافر. طيب, they're saying the Wa'idiyya, if you commit a major sin, you're going to Jahannam eternally. Fair enough. طيب, now the question arises, what do we call you? Do we call this person a believer who's going to Jahannam eternally, or do we give him the title of a kafir, a disbeliever who's going to Jahannam eternally? What is the name that they give him? Because again, this is someone who's saying أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. If you were to ask him, you know, what's your religion, he will say, I'm a Muslim. He's drinking wine, but he's still a Muslim. Now they're saying because of his drinking of wine, he's going to Jahannam eternally. But what do you call him though in the dunya now? Fine, according to your deviant understanding, he's going to Jahannam eternally. But what do we call him today? Do you consider him a Muslim, or you consider him something else? And do you consider him a believer or a disbeliever? That's important, because they may say he's a believer, but because he's drinking wine, he's going to Jahannam forever. Or they may say because he's drinking wine, he's no longer a believer. So let us find out what they say. وأهل السنة وسط فيه بين طائفتين الحرورية والمعتزلة من وجه والمرجئة والجهمية من وجه. أهل السنة والجماعة are in between, as we mentioned earlier. So let us divide them. فالحرورية والمعتزلة أخرجوه من الإيمان. The حرورية and the معتزلites, they extracted the concept of faith from him. They deprived him of iman. They said he's not. ولكن الحرورية قالوا إنه كافر يحل دمه وماله ولهذا خرجوا على الأئمة وكفروا الناس. Furthermore, the حرورية said he's a kafir, his blood and his wealth are lawful to you, and because of that they went against the leaders of the Muslims, and they fought, and they called, described the masses of Muslims as kuffar. Anyone who committed a major sin, not only they called him a kafir, but they said he's a kafir whose blood and wealth is lawful. Go kill him and take his stuff. نفي مشكلة. And they did that in the name of Islam. وأما المرجع الجهمية فخالفوا هؤلاء. On the other hand, the other crazy people, the murji'a and the jahmiya, وقالوا هو مؤمن كامل الإيمان. They said this person who's drinking wine, fornicating, adultery, the whole nine yards. He said he's a believer, full in faith. يسرق ويزني ويشرب الخمر ويقتل الناس ويقطع الطريق. He steals, he fornicates, he drinks wine, intoxicants, he kills people, he robs, highway robbery, you know. نقول له أنت مؤمن كامل الإيمان. We say to him, you're a believer full in iman. Your iman is on F. You know, like the gas gauge in your car. You know, usually you have F and E. They say to him, you're full, man. Man, you have no problem. Of course, I have delivered a lecture on this issue, on the issue of the concept of iman according to Al-Sunnah Al-Jama'ah, titled Running on Empty. And it has to do actually with the gas gauge. So you can get it on DVD and actually learn what Al-Sunnah Al-Jama'ah believe in terms of our iman, how it increases, decreases, how to increase our iman, how to avoid decreasing, and all that is explained in a lecture available on DVD for your convenience. كرجل فعل الواجبات والمستحبات وتجنب المحرمات. So we say to him, you are perfect in iman, just like a man who does everything that is obligatory and recommended, and he avoids everything that is haram. You and him are the same. There's no difference between you. أنت وهو في الإيمان واحد. عجيب. And we don't understand how can someone come up with this very silly, you know, judgment. Someone who's, you know, obeying Allah day and night and doing all the obligations, avoiding all the prohibitions, and someone who's doing exactly the opposite, you say your iman and his are identical. There's no difference between them. عجيب. عجيب. فَهَؤُلَاءِ وَأُولَئِكَ عَلَى الضُّدِّ فِي الْإِسْمِ وَفِي الْحُكُمِ. So they are in opposition in terms of the title they give that person and the ruling on him. One say you're a mu'min, كَامِلُ الْإِيمَانِ. The other one said you're a kafir. You're a kafir. And all this because of sins, huh? Not acts of disbelief. One of them say you do all these haram and you are a believer perfect in faith. And the other one said, you do one major sin, even one, you're a kafir going to Jahannam eternally. عجيب. وأما المعتزلة, what about the Mu'tazilites? فقالوا فاعل الكبيرة خرج من الإيمان ولم يدخل في الكفر. These people are confused. Actually, they are the closest things to agnostics. You know what an agnostic is? Let us deal with some da'wah terminology. Since all of you are du'at, supposed to be doing du'at, you are du'at, you know, to Islam. I'm assuming all of you propagate Islam. I hope so. So what is an agnostic? And what's the difference between what is an agnostic first, and then we will get the second comparison. You better know this stuff, man. Yes? I'm waiting.
Someone who doesn't care about or think about God.
No.
Just frustrated?
No. You're close, but no. Now what is an atheist? Now there's a difference though. An agnostic person and an atheist are not the same. Now what is an atheist? We'll deal with agnostic second. Yes?
He claims there is no God.
Okay. An atheist is someone who confirms and affirms and swears, and he has firm belief that there's no God. There's no creator. An agnostic is someone who's not sure. He doesn't say there's no God, because, you know, he sees things, you know, that couldn't have come without a God, but he doesn't go to the extent that says that there's a God. So as they say, he's a lazy atheist. Really, that's what he is. And yes, he doesn't care enough to, you know, to investigate, otherwise he would come to a conclusion. I mean, if you really weren't sure whether there was a God or not, and you spent only one day, you know, investigating, you will come up, you know, with the result that there's a God. So that's an agnostic. Someone who's not sure whether there's a God or not. He doesn't deny like the atheist who's clear, upfront, no God. And he's not a believer, like even a believer in the existence of God, even though he's a kafir in Islam. Right? Like a Hindu may say there's a God, but he's not a Muslim, he's not a believer in that sense. He just believes in the existence of a greater being, of a supreme, controller of the earth. So an agnostic is someone who's in between. The Mu'tazila have a very similar approach. They have a very similar approach to the agnostic. They said, the one who does major sins, the one who does a major sin, he is not a believer. We do not consider him a believer, but he did not enter disbelief either. فَهُوَ فِي مَنْزِلَةٍ بَيْنَ الْمَنْزِلَتَيْنِ فِي مَنْزِلَةٍ بَيْنَ مَنْزِلَتَيْنِ He is in a station between two stations. Right? So there's a station of belief, there's a station of disbelief, and the Mu'tazila say, well, we cannot say he's a believer, because he committed a major sin. He's no longer a believer. But we cannot say he's a kafir, so he's somewhere in between. Where? Allahu a'lam, where? Somewhere in mid-air. You know where? Where is he going to go? Now the Shaykh will make a joke at the end, man, you won't believe what the Shaykh says. SubhanAllah. Is it here? Oh, yes. It's coming soon, inshallah. You're going to laugh on that one. لا نتجاسر أن نقول إنه كافر. Now we don't need to go to the extent that we say he's a kafir. وليس لنا أن نقول له مؤمن. But we don't have the right to say he's a believer either. وهو يفعل الكبيرة while he's committing that major sin. يزني ويسرق ويشرب الخمر. He steals. He fornicates. He steals and he drinks wine. وقالوا نحن أسعد الناس بالحق. They say we're happy with the truth. We are the happiest people with the truth. That's what the Mu'tazilites claim. The Shaykh says, حقيقة أنهم إذا قالوا إن هذا لا يتساوى مع مؤمن عابد فقد صدقوا. Truly, we cannot compare someone who's committing a major sin to an obedient worshipper of Allah. That's right. لكن كونهم يخرجونه من الإيمان ثم يحدثون منزلة بين منزلتين. But when they took him out from the category of believers, when they deprived him of the title of belief, and then they put him in a station between two stations, bid'atun, my favorite word, and many people it's the word that they don't like to hear, right? Because they think, you know, the Wahhabis, everything is bid'ah, you know, the Wahhabi. I can't do anything. Every time, you know, there was a brother in our local masjid, every time after Salatul Fajr, when he makes dua, he will unbutton his thawb, you know, and three, and he will, you know, he will blow in there 2-3 times in a row, you know. And every time I see him, I suffer, man. I just want the earth to open up and swallow me. I can't see him anymore. I told him, brother, Akhi, this is not from the sunnah. That's what I mean. He said, nothing, I can't do anything. Kullu bid'ah, everything bid'ah. Everyone's gonna make dua. I said, take it easy, man. Take it easy, Akhi. Look at all these people around. You're the only one in the whole world who does this. You're going to tell me all of us don't know the sunnah, you know the sunnah? I mean, come on, man. But, you know, they have a sensitivity gauge against, you know, bid'ah. Once you start saying this is not from the sunnah, then they automatically react. And then he insists on it now all the time. Allah musta'an. Allah musta'an. So bid'ah ما جاءت لا في كتاب الله ولا في سنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This idea of you're in a station between two stations is an innovation that has no place in the book of Allah or the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. We don't have such thing in Islam. That you're somewhere in between. You're not a Muslim but you're not a kafir. Do we have that? Either you're a Muslim or you're a kafir. خلاص. There's nothing in between. There's no gray area. There's no gray area in this area. كل النصوص تدل على أنه لا يوجد منزلة بين منزلتين أو منزلة بين منزلتين. All of the textual evidences indicate that there is no such thing as a station between two stations. آية number one. كقوله تعالى وإن أو إياكم لعلى هدى أو في ضلال مبين. My favorite ayah. I quoted this in the last lecture. And verily we or you are either upon guidance or in manifest error. What did Allah say? You say to the people, look, either we are upon guidance, we are you, One of us is guided, the other one is misguided. There's nothing in between. There's nothing in between. That's the ayah. Allah says, فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. This is one of the strongest ayat. So what is after the truth except misguidance? Yani there's one truth, and anything afterwards is false. Where is this important? This is important in fiqh. And you can use this ayah against the blind followers of the madahib. Those who say that the imam is always right. You know, there's always a malish. Yani I know Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah said this, and Imam Shafi'i said this, but both are correct. No. One of them is correct and the other one is wrong. Now the fact that he's wrong doesn't mean that he's no good, and it doesn't mean that Allah will not reward him with goodness. Because already the Prophet ﷺ told us that when the Imam, the Hakim, the judge, the Qadi, whoever is in charge of making decisions, fatwa, when he exerts his knowledge and he makes a ruling, if he gets it wrong, he will get one reward. And if he gets it right, he will get two rewards. So even getting it wrong will give him a reward. Why? His niyyah is what? The truth. So when the madhahib differ, there's no two truths. One of them according to the deen of Allah. Now we may not know because of our lack of knowledge. But ultimately, in the deen of Allah, one of them is in accordance with the sunnah and the other one is not. That means that we cannot follow one man all the way. Because no one man is infallible. It is inevitable that people will make mistakes. This is only for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah preserved him from making mistakes so the deen will be preserved. And he alayhi sallam, for example, in the matters of the dunya, his opinion wasn't that like that of his deen. When he saw some of the sahaba, you know, trying to do something particular to the palm trees, you know, and he advised them not to do it, they acted upon the advice, they had less fruit. So they said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, you know, we were doing it a certain way and you told us to do it otherwise, and now we are having less fruit." He said, "You know better about your dunya. It was just an idea of mine. It was just an idea of mine. You know the affairs of your dunya better than myself." So in the matters of the dunya, in the matters of the deen, no. When he said something, if it was wrong, Allah would correct it immediately. And we have many incidents from the Quran and the Sunnah where Rasulullah, he would have made a decision and then the revelation will come, sometimes with the agreement of Umar, who was not in agreement with the opinion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the deen was completed with everything being according to the way of Allah. So then there's one truth. There are no two. فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. So what is after the truth except, and as the ulama say, this is a rhetorical question, or it's an interrogative with the intent of declaration. As if the ayah is saying, there isn't anything after the truth except misguidance. Even if it's being posed in a question, even if the actual the sentence structure is that of a question, the intent is that there isn't such a thing. Right? هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيَّةً. Do you know anyone equal to Allah? Meaning there isn't anyone equal to Allah. Right? And we have many ayat in the same fashion. The third ayah, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرٌ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنٌ. It is He who created you, so among you are those who is a kafir, and among you are those who is a believer. So Allah said that He created all of us. There's a mu'min and there's a kafir. The munafiq, where do we categorize him? The major hypocrite. Under what category? Kafir. So he's still a kafir. Right? Now the kind of kufr may differ. A Hindu kafir, a Jewish kafir, a Christian kafir, a hypocrite kafir, a grave worshipping kafir, and the list goes on. Right? But all of them are what? Under kafir. Believers, even if they vary in their belief, some are stronger, some are bigger, some ila akhri, they're all categorized under mu'min. So we have a mu'min kafir. Do we have a third station? No third station between them. وفي الحديث القرآن حجة لك أو عليك. In the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said the Quran is either an evidence or a proof for you or against you. Meaning if you read the Quran, as we will be doing inshallah abundantly in Ramadan, and then we live against it, then the Quran will come on the Day of Judgment and it will testify against one of us. The Quran will testify against one of us. Oh Allah, he read and he didn't act. And you, one will enter Jahannam because of the Quran. Are you with me? The Quran may take you to Jahannam, or the Quran may take you to Jannah. How? Depending on how we deal with the Quran. If we read the Quran, understand the Quran, act upon the Quran, then the Quran is your guide to Jannah. If we read the Quran and we don't bother to understand the Quran, or we understand the Quran and we go against its teachings, then the Quran will take someone to Jahannam. Right? That's clear from the Quran and the Sunnah. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى إِلَى آخِرِ الْآيَاتِ. Whoever turns away from the dhikr, the Quran of Allah, then verily he shall lead a miserable life, and we will resurrect him on the day of judgment blind. And the end of the ayat mentioned that he will be وَكَذَلِكَ نَزِّي مَنْ أَشْرَفْ إِلَى آخِرِ الْآيَاتِ. This is the punishment of the one who doesn't believe in Allah. He will go to Jahannam. So the idea then is very important. The Quran is not a book of recitation only. It's a book of implementation. Right? كِتَابٌ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. A book we have sent down upon you to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, blessed. Why? لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ, so they may reflect and ponder upon its ayat, its miraculous signs. وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, and those who have a brain will remember. Which means that if we read the Quran and we don't act upon it, we don't have a brain. We don't have a brain. We could solve mathematical equations and we could steal money pretty good from our boss at work, but that's not intelligence, that's stupidity. Intelligence is very basic. You obey Allah and His Messenger, you are the smartest guy on earth. Trust me. Even if your IQ is zero. If you obey Allah and His Messenger, you are the smartest person ever. If you don't, inshallah you can be whoever you are. Unfortunately, we cannot attribute intelligence to such an individual. Because if your intelligence in this dunya, or what you think is intelligence, is going to take you to Jahannam forever, then that's not smart at all. But if sacrificing today will take you to Jannah eternally, hey, that's pretty good stuff. Right? I mean, come on now. Now you pay for rent. Rent sucks, you know. Every month you have to pay, you know, 1100 or 900 depending on where you live. And then you know, if you have a car, you have to make payments for the car. Or if you have a car you're not making payments on, you have to maintain it. Change, you know, the radiator and the fuel pump and, you know, tires. You know, one brother, mashallah, has one of these Armada?
Right.
Tires, man, the tires were 4,000 riyals, man. No, this is a discount. The other people quoted him 6,000, 8,000 riyals. That's the price of a car for someone else. Right? I mean, with that 8,000 riyals, somebody buys a car, two cars actually. You can get two Teslas for 8,000 riyals. This brother is just changing tires. Two-year-old tires. You know, that's a car, that's maintenance. I'm like, whoa, you know? I was like, brother, come on, man. We should just walk, you know? Let's just walk to the place. I don't want to ruin your car anymore. But that's the reality. Life requires that you always have to, you know, pay, maintain. Wife, problems with the wife and the children, your parents, your relatives. I mean, you're just struggling. And, you know, with this struggling, does someone put himself in a position to struggle even more after he dies? Struggle in the grave with the angels that ask the question, and struggle, you know, in the grave in terms of punishment, then struggle on the day of resurrection, then struggle in Jahannam. And the struggle of Jahannam is nothing like the struggle of the dunya. In fact, the struggle of the dunya is nothing like the struggle of Jahannam. This is nothing. It said that Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, you know Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani? The one who did Sharh Bukhari, Sahih Bukhari, Fath al-Bari. One of the great scholars of Islam, his aqidah required some tuning, but generally speaking, he's a great sheikh of Islam. He was a qadi, he was a judge during his time, and you know, he was rolling nights. He had his the carriage for the horse. He had horses, you know, and he's wearing his nice thawb and his nice, you know, the cloak that the shuyukh wear, you know, he's looking all fancy, beautiful, and he's going in the streets. And there came to him a Jewish man who sells oil. And when you sell oil, assuming it's olive oil, by, you know, when you're pouring for the customers, naturally your clothes are going to be all, you know, having stains of oil everywhere. You can't maintain clean clothes while you're selling oil. So he seen the sheikh, and he told him, he stopped him. He said, listen man, time out. Now you say that your messenger said that the dunya is a prison for the believer and it's a jannah for the disbeliever. Right? But look at your condition of mind. According to you and your messenger, Jannah, the dunya is a prison for the believer. You're wearing, you know, these nice clothes, you got the horses, you're rolling nice, you're a judge. What prison is that? And it said that it's a prison, it's a Jannah for the disbeliever. Look at me. Look at me. Huh? He thinks he's, you know, trying to bring a shubha to a sheikh. So what did the sheikh tell him? He told him, look man, what I am in right now, compared to what Allah has prepared for the believers in Jannah, this is like a prison. And what you are in right now, compared to what Allah prepared of punishment for the disbeliever, you are in Jannah. So the man said, you know, yeah, that makes sense. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. He became Muslim. Because that's a silencing reputation. Yeah, you got some oil on your clothes, big deal. You wait till you go to Jahannam, then you will see the punishment there. And now I have a horse and something. What do you about Hur al-Ain and what about what you will have in Jannah? Psh, that's nothing. So this is the idea. So intelligence then is that we understand this very basic concept. Look, I was only created to make it to Jannah. How is it done? Obeying Allah and His Messenger. How easy is it? Very easy. He said this, we do it. But you know, we're amazing creatures. This basic thing, we don't do it. And we hear over and over again, yeah, I know brother, I know, yes, I know, I've heard this before, I know this is wajib. Come on man, cut that stuff out. It's not worth it. It is not worth it. There will be, you know, we have no idea the kind of regret that one will feel when he will pass away, die, and then look back and say, all I had to do was that? All it was these little basic things, and I would have been a successful person, but I missed out on the most basic things. So I don't know why one would put himself in this predicament. Wait until there's no time, until there's the time of no return. Now we have the chance to do it. Very simple stuff, ya Shabab. Very easy. Ramadan is an opportunity. Allah gives us special strength. You know, shayateen, the evil among them are chained. The doors of Jannah are open, doors of Jannah are closed. Come on. Once we begin in this month, inshallah, the obedience to Allah, we don't, you know, cut it out once it's over. We don't go back to our old ways. It's very basic things we need to do. But the shaitan, you know, if we don't obey Allah, the shaitan will be given authority over us. And once shaitan is given authority, we become silly people. We don't do. We listen to the whispers, we obey the shaitan, and we don't obey Allah and His Messenger. Had we been good slaves of Allah, this would never be the case. إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانِ إِلَّا مَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. Allah says in the Quran to the shaitan, verily my slaves, you have no authority over them. No power, authority, control over them, except those who will follow you among the deviators. Among those who will deviate from the path. Only those who want to follow shaitan, then they will be destroyed. The slaves of Allah, no. He may catch us slipping here and there, but he cannot take you all the way with him to Jahannam. So you know, I hope that makes sense to you, that we just do these basics. The Quran is a hujjah. It's an evidence against us or for us. Let us live according to the Quran. What is the Quran? وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهِ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ. Obey Allah and obey His Messenger. That's it. Concerning the obligatory acts. So Allah musta'an. فَأَيْنَ الْمَنْزِلَ بَيْنَ الْمَنْزِلَتَيْنِ. The Shaykh says, so where is this station between the two stations? هُمْ يَقُولُونَ فِي مَنْزِلَةٍ بَيْنَ مَنْزِلَتَيْنِ. He is in a station between two stations. وَفِي بَابِ الْوَعِيدِ يُنَفِّذُونَ عَلَيْهِ الْوَعِيدِ. Now in the element, in the textual evidences concerning the threat, they impose and they apply the threat on him. فيوافقون الخوارج في أن فاعل الكبيرة مخلد في النار. So they are in agreement with the خوارج. We mentioned the خارجites. Those who say that whoever does a major sin will be going to جهنم eternally. Eternally. أما في الدنيا فقالوا تجري عليه أحكام الإسلام لأنه هو الأصل. So they said, but as for the dunya, then the rulings of Islam apply to him. Because this is the fundamental principle. فهو عندهم في الدنيا بمنزلة الفاسق العاصي. So they treat him in the dunya as a defiantly disobedient person. In the life to come, they say he's going to Jahannam forever. In the dunya, he's a disobedient Muslim. The Shaykh said, فيا سبحان الله. Ya subhanallah, subhanallah, how perfect is Allah. كيف نصلي عليه? How do we pray on him? You see, now look, these crazy people. They're saying, look, this guy drinking wine, okay? In the dunya, we will call him an evil Muslim. He's an evil Muslim. If a Muslim dies, do you pray janazah or you don't? You pray janazah. Now they say he's an evil Muslim in the life, but because he's drinking wine, when he dies, he will go to Jahannam eternally. Kapish? You understand? They're saying in the dunya, we consider him an evil, defiantly disobedient Muslim. But in the life to come, he's going to Jahannam eternally. So the Shaykh said, Ya Akhi, how would we pray janazah for him? ونقول اللهم اغفر له. How are we going to say in the salah, oh Allah forgive him, when he's going to go to Jahannam eternally? It doesn't make any sense. See how crazy these people are? They're saying in the dunya we treat him as a Muslim, an evil Muslim, but in the life to come he's never going to go out of Jahannam. So then what are you going to do in janazah? Allahumma ighfir lahu, what? Oh Allah forgive him, and if he's never going to go out of Jahannam, what forgiveness is he going to receive? وهو مخلد في النار, يعني it makes no sense. فيجب عليهم أن يقولوا في أحكام الدنيا إنه يتوقف فيه. They should also do that according to their deviant foundation. If they were really to apply it, they should say even in the dunya we should stop. We really should not call him a Muslim. ولا كافر. We don't call him a Muslim and we don't call him a كافر. ولا نعطي أحكام الإسلام ولا أحكام الكفار. According to their principle of the life to come, they should apply it in the dunya. Which means I don't say he's a Muslim, I don't say he's a kafir. I cannot give him the ruling of a Muslim, I cannot give him the ruling of a kafir. According to them, إذا مات لا نصلي عليه. If he dies, we will not pray for him. Janazah. ولا نكفنه. We will not shroud him. ولا نغسله. We will not wash him. ولا يدفن مع المسلمين. And we will not wash him with the believers. We will not bury him with the believers. ولا ندفنه مع الكفار. And we will not bury him with the kuffar. Because he's neither a Muslim, neither a kafir. Now the Shaykh said, إذا نبحث له عن مقبرة بين مقبرتين. So we will look for him for a graveyard between two graveyards. You know how they've been saying منزلة بين منزلتين, a station between two stations. Then according to you also, you should find a graveyard between two graveyards. Well, this is a graveyard not for the Muslim, not for the kafir. It's for someone who's in between. Philosophy, man. All this philosophy that the people introduced into Islam, wallahi, it's amazing, man. وأما أهل السنة والجماعة فكانوا وسطا بين هذه الطوائف. As for أهل السنة والجماعة, whom we ask Allah to make us among, they were in a balanced position between these deviant sects. فقالوا نسمي المؤمن الذي يفعل كبيرة مؤمنا ناقص الإيمان. Beautiful. We will say to the believer who commits major sins, a believer whose iman is deficient. Just like, let me give you a worldly example. You have an employee and a company, an employee who does everything perfectly. طيب? And you have a lousy employee. Now, do you say for the lousy employee, you don't work here? You work here, but you don't know, you're not doing very good. So you acknowledge him being an employee, but you describe him with, you know, he's a low of low character, low production employee. You label them. Not every time employee, you know, one time he comes late, you're out. You don't want to work for us. He cannot do this, right? And you know, you cannot affirm as someone who's not an employee to be an employee. So the idea then is very simple. We say he's a believer, but he has deficiency in his iman because of this major sin that he is committing. أو نقول مؤمن بإيمانه فاسق بكبيرته. Or we say he's a believer, because of the iman he has, but he is a defiant, disobedient person because of the major sin he's committing. So we make a distinction between them. وَهَذَا هُوَ الْعَدِلِ. This is justice. This is justice and fairness. فَلَا يُعْطَى الْإِسْمِ الْمُطْلَقِ وَلَا يُسْلَبْ مُطْلَقَ الْإِسْمِ. Allahu Akbar. He is not given the ultimate name of a believer, and he is not deprived of the name of belief. Neither do we say he's a perfect believer like Abu Bakr, nor do we say he's a kafir, he doesn't belong to Islam because of a major sin he's committing. And that concludes that. Now here's a very crucial and the fifth asl and the last before we go to another chapter. في الصحابة رضي الله عنهم. The position, the balanced position of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah in comparison or in regards to the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال المؤلف رحمه الله وفي أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بين الرافضة والخوارج. أهل السنة والجماعة between the رافضة. Who are the رافضة? The Shia. May Allah curse them. And who are the خوارج? The خوارج? Yeah, but what is their main quality? They do takfir on anyone who does a major sin, and they fight against him, and they say he's going to the hellfire eternity, which is actually close to what we had been discussing earlier. The Khawarij are part of those in the Mu'tazila in this sense. طيب, who can define a Sahabi? Who is a Sahabi? Seen him? I was gonna base my argument on that one. So what? Seen him or met him?
Met him by being a Muslim.
Does he have to see him?
Inshallah.
He has to see him.
Yeah,
he has to see. He must be with the seeing.
Yes.
So then Ibn Maktub was not a Sahabi.
He's a blind.
Aha. We had blind Sahaba. So as the ulama say, whoever met him. He could be blind. He could be blind and sit with him, alayhi salatu salam. He's still a sahabi. He doesn't have to see him. He may have, you know, weak vision, whatever the situation may be. Once he met with the Prophet salam, even once, and he died as a believer, not only he was a Muslim, because we had people that were Muslim and then they left. Like those who believed in Musaylimah al-Kadhab. Right? So the sahabi, the sheikh said, ashab, جمع صاحب. أصحاب, companions, is the plural for companion, صاحب. وصاحب اسمه جمع صاحب وصاحب الملازم للشيء. It comes from something which accompanies you. So that's why you say he's a company. They are their companions because it's something which accompanies you wherever you go. والصحابي, this is a beautiful definition. هو الذي اجتمع بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مؤمنا به ومات على ذلك. Whoever met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while believing in him, and he died on that state or in that state. He died in that state. Khalas, we know the Sahabi is then. وهذا خاص في الصحابة. This is particular to the Sahaba. وهو من خصائص النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is from the special qualities given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. أن الإنسان يكون من أصحابه وإن لم يستمع به إلا لحظة واحدة. That someone can be counted among his Sahaba, his companions, even if they met him for a single second. Single second, خلاص. He's labeled as a Sahabi. لكن بشرط أن يكون مؤمنا به, but on the condition that he's a believer in him. أهل السنة والجماعة وسط بين الرافضة والخوارج. والخوارج. We are in a balanced position between الرافضة and the خوارج. فالرافضة, what is رافضة? From which word? رفض. يرفض. رفض. To actually deny or to decline. For example, you invite me for dinner. أرفض الدعوة. I decline the invitation. I reject. Another term in English is reject. Say to the rejectors. هم الذين يسمون اليوم الشيعة. Today they are known as who? The Shia. وسموا رافضة, they were called رافضة, the rejectors or the deniers
or the decliners, لأنهم رفضوا زيد بن علي بن الحسين بن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه. They rejected Zayd, the son of Ali, who was the son of Al-Husayn, who was the son of Ali, the son of Abi Talib. You know that Abu Talib is the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ. Ali was his son, the nephew of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, right? His son was Al-Husayn. The son of Al-Husayn was Ali, and the son of Ali was Zayd. They would, you know, even in our tradition, you usually call yourself, your son is called by the name of your father. In some, you know, cultures, if you don't name your son by the name of your father, then you can forget about your father also. He probably won't speak to you afterwards, right? And even if his name was very odd, you have to name by the... This is a tradition in some Muslim countries. You have to name your son by your father's name. Otherwise, it's an insult and a disgrace. So sometimes people have to come up with, you know, combo. You know, his name is like, you know, three words in order to please the father and, you know, the mother-in-law and everybody else, you know. So who's the victim? The children. You know, his name is Ahmed bin Ahmed, 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 Mustafa, Ali. Come on, man. You know, you need to write an essay every time I write a letter for you. على كل حال. الذي ينتسب إليه الآن الزيدية. The Zaydiites are the ones that are attributed to Zayd. رفضوه. Now they rejected him. Why? لأنهم سألوا. They asked him. ما تقول في أبي بكر وعمر؟ Look at the wicked Shia. What do you say about Abu Bakr and Umar? What do they want him to say? That they're kuffar. That they died as hypocrites. That's the Shia for you. Many people don't know. Say, oh, Hassan Nasrallah. Hassan Akhzahullah. Hezbollah, Hezbo Shaitan. They're fighting the Jews, brother. They're fighting the Jews in Lebanon. Psh! I'm Lebanese, man. They're fighting no one but the Muslims. The Jews are a denomination of Shiism, of the Jews, in a very large sense. Now, I cannot label everyone like that, but a very good number of the Shia, in fact, the Shia came from a Jewish munafiq. His name was Abdullah ibn Sabah. He was a Jew. He pretended to be a Muslim, and he's the one who created the Shia in order to destroy Islam from within. Using the old concept, join them. If you cannot beat them, join them. The same thing Paul did to Christianity. The same thing Paul did to Christianity. He was beating up the Christians. He wasn't able to kill everyone. Suddenly he saw Jesus on the way to Damascus. He became an apostle. And next thing you know, Christianity is what Paul teaches today. The same thing that Jewish hypocrite did in Islam. Right? فرق تسد. Divide, you will conquer. Divide and conquer. That was the methodology that they used. Just in case you didn't know. So they said to him, what do you say about Abu Bakr and Umar? يُرِيدُونَ مِنْهُ أَنْ يَسُبَّهُمَا وَيَطْعَنَ فِيهِمَا. They want him to curse them and defame them. وَلَكِنَّهُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ. But he, may Allah be pleased with him, said, نِعْمَ الْوَزِيرَانِ وَزِيرَاتْ أَجَدِّي. What excellent ministers are the ministers of my grandfather. Speaking about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What excellent ministers were the ministers of the grandfather, my grandfather, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did not defame them. He praised them. فَأَثْنَى عَلَيْهِمَا فَرَفَضُوا. So when he praised them, they rejected him. They rejected him. وَغَضِبُوا عَلَيْهِ. They became angry with him. وَتَرَكُوا. And they abandoned him. فَسُمُّوا رَافِضَ. So they were called الرافضة. Because they did رَفَضُوا Zayd bin Ali bin Hussein bin Ali bin Abi Talib. This is where the term رافضة came from. Now they called Shia. And the Shia, really ironically, what does it mean? It means sect. Shia means sect. Even in the text of the Quran. In the text of the Quran, the word Shia comes often. Right? كانوا شيعة كل حزب بما لديهم فرحون. So they became sects. Every group is happy with what, content with what they have. وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيعَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمِ. And from the group, from the denomination of Nuh was Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام. So it comes in meaning a group, a denomination, a sect. هؤلاء الروافض والعياذ بالله لهم أصول معروفة عندهم. Listen to this now. These rawafid, and we seek Allah's refuge, they have fundamental principles which are known to them. ومن أقبح أصولهم, among the most abhorrent and repulsive among them, الإمامة, the Imamites, التي تتضمن عصمة الإمام. They say that the Imam is infallible. He makes no mistakes. وأنه لا يقول خطأ. He will never say something wrong. Now this is a man. They believe these imams, they're 12 imams, the 12ites. They're known as the 12ites, al-Ithna Ashariya. They say the 12 imams, they make no mistakes. Listen to this. وَأَنَّ مَقَامَ الْإِمَامِ أَرْفَعْ مِنْ مَقَامِ النُّبُوَةِ. Being an imam is better than being a prophet. It doesn't end. لِأَنَّ الْإِمَامِ يَتَلَقَّ عَنِ اللَّهِ مُبَاشَرًا. Because they say the imam, he gets it straight from Allah. والنبي بواسطة الرسول, whereas the prophet, he needs a messenger like Jibreel or some sort of revelation. They say the imam is in direct contact with Allah, just like Jimmy Swaggart. You know Jimmy Swaggart, right? That foolish, silly, you know, low life, crazy individual. You know who told Ahmed Didat rahimahullah in one of the debates? You know, God spoke to me, and He told me, Jimmy, tell D that, no, tell, my son, tell D that I love him. And if he comes to me, blah, 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 you know, and I'm, you know, come on now. He's saying this in front of, you know, thousands of people, that God spoke to him and told him, tell D that I love him. If he becomes a Christian, mia, mia, I have no problems with him, you know. Let him just become a Christian. I will forgive all of the debates. All the debates he had before, ma bi mushkila. Just become a Christian. That's Jimmy Swaggart for you, right? He's in direct contact with God. So when Ahmed Didat wanted to make fun of him, and he made fun of him many times, because he was caught with a prostitute not that long afterwards, right? The so-called, you know, godly, you know, religious man, he was caught with a prostitute twice, and his career was put to end. But you know, Jimmy Swaggart, Ahmed Didat rahimahullah, when he made fun of him, he said, look, you know, even when you read the Bible, and even in the Bible, when God addressed, you know, his prophets and messengers, you know, he never called any one of them son. But Jimmy Swaggart is so special, he's even before them. You know, God told him, my son. His own son, Jesus, which they claim is the son of God, there's no verse where God said to Jesus, my son. But to Jimmy Swaggart, he gave him that privilege and that title. This had, you know. So they say these imams, they get their, you know, revelation straight from Allah. Straight from Allah. وَلَا يُخْطِي الْإِمَامِ عِنْدَهُ أَبَدًا. He never makes a mistake. بَلْ غُلَاتُهُمْ يَدَّعُونَ أَنَّ الْإِمَامَ يَخْلُقْ. But the extreme among them claim that their imam creates. وَأَيَّقُولْ لِشَيْءٍ كُنْ فَيَكُنْ. He says to something, be, and it is. It's kufr, man. And that Shaykh didn't mention, let me add some things. They claim that Jibreel made a mistake. He was supposed to come to Ali to give him revelation, but he went instead to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ for 23 years. He gave revelation to the wrong man. Allah did not make any corrections. They say that imams were born from the thighs of their mothers because they wouldn't come from an impure place. Right? They didn't come from the usual place. They're so pure, they came out from the thighs of their mothers. Right? Special delivery. You know? I don't know how. You know, they just, wow, look, there's a baby right here from the thigh. So that makes him better than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all the prophets and messengers who were born regularly. Mind you, there was no cesarean. There was no cutting up the woman's, you know, womb. It must have been from one place. No, these are better than the prophets and the messengers. They came from the thighs of their mothers. These are the Shia. And people say, you know, brother, you need to take it easy. We Muslims need to unite. You know, we with the Shia against the Kuffar. No, Habibi. No, Habibi. We don't unite with these people. They pray three times a day on a rock. You know, how can you pray with someone like this, man? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And I've seen him in Hajj. I've seen him in so many different places. I happened to go on a plane, you know, with a plane full of Shia. The whole plane was Shia. You know, the worst, probably one of the worst flights in my whole entire life. Coming back from Lebanon, they were coming for some Umrah or Hajj, or I don't know what they were coming for. Umrah, I believe it was Umrah. You know, with the whole plane of Shia, man. Don't ask about their prayer. And they had to pray in the airport. And I had to watch them with my family. and they try to, you know, be friendly with us. Actually, ironically, it's very strange. The strangest moments of my life. I'm trying to. The first time I'm in direct contact with the Shia, you know, and they're speaking to us and all this and trying to. Every time they want to grab my son, and kind of, I'm like, no, leave my son alone, man. Don't even touch him. You know, I'm just, you know, I'm to contaminate my son with something. A'udhu billah. So these are the Shia for you. Not very nice people. And wallahi, we hate them for the sake of Allah. Allah is my witness that I hate them for the sake of Allah. And the main reason why is coming. وَهُمْ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّ الصَّحَابَ كُفَّارَ. They say the Sahaba are disbelievers. Imagine the Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ, disbelievers. So what? Where is the Islam? If the Sahaba became kuffar, then how are we going to trust the Quran and the Sunnah? You don't have a Quran and Sunnah. This is why they went to the extreme and said that the Quran which we have today is not authentic. The Shia claim that this Quran has ayat taken out which were supposed to mention Ali being the Khalifa. These are the Shia. Some are worse than others, but this is their common characteristic. So if you ever liked them before, I suggest you start changing your mind beginning today, inshallah. وَكُلُّهُمْ ارْتَدُّ بَعْدَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَتَّى أَبُو بَكْرٍ. All of them apostated after the Prophet ﷺ, even the Khalifa, Abu Bakr. He left Islam. وَعَمَرْ. He also left Islam. عندهم بعضهم كان كافرين ومات على النفاق. They said they both became disbelievers, died as hypocrites. Why hypocrites? Because according to them, they still pretended to be Muslims. Abu Bakr and Umar didn't say, okay, I'm a Christian now. They pretended to be Muslims, so they said they really disbelieved, but we labeled them as munafiqeen because they pretended to be Muslims while they really were not. وَلَا يَسْتَثْنُونَ مِنَ الصَّحَابَ إِلَّا أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ. They make no exception to the Sahaba. Abu Huraira, Umar ibn Umar, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Anas ibn Malik. All of these are kuffar to them, except the household, the members of the household of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَنَفَرًا قَلِيلًا مِمَّنْ قَالُوا إِنَّهُمْ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءِ الْبَيْتِ. And a small denomination who said these were, you know, these were on good terms with Ahlul Bayt. These are the Shia. But anyways, we will continue on the discussion of these wicked people, inshallah ta'ala, after Ramadan. Wallahu musta'an. And we will learn more about the Shia and the Khawarij, and then we will begin the chapter on how do we bring a relation between Allah's being with His creation and being above His throne in a manner befitting His majesty in a state of transcendence. How do we understand the different textual evidences in the light of the Quran and the Sunnah and Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ.